Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we're going to be reading that verse along with several others tonight. But we're continuing our series, Unlimited. And tonight's message is titled Battle Basics, Battle Basics. You know, the Army has something that's called basic training, right? And on their website, they describe it as a military training course where recruits learn basic tactical and survival skills along with how to shoot, how to rappel, and how to march. And training doesn't end with boot camp. Soldiers are continually engaged in training. One article said, realistic training is the single greatest asset the U.S. military has in preparing and protecting our personnel, as it ensures service members maintain the highest level of readiness and capability. Training, they said, is repeatedly drilled into every soldier so that it will become reflex action. When they get on the battlefield, they have to depend on those battle basics in which they have been trained, and it can mean the difference between life and death. The same is true for us spiritually, and Paul makes it clear in Ephesians 6:12 that we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. So Paul is making it just so crystal clear that we are on a battlefield. Our life is lived out on the battlefield. We are engaged with battle against the spiritual forces of darkness. And there are several battle basic principles that must be drilled into us until they become second nature so that we can resist the enemy and stand firm in the faith as more than conquerors. And the first battle basic is this. Remember that God designed you. Remember that God designed you. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are His. You know, the God who knows everything that we would face in this life before we ever even took a breath. He is the one who made us, and He made us fit for everything that we would face in this life, fit for every storm that we would go through. And so what can we learn from this? You may bend, but you won't break. God has created us in such a way, He knows what your limit is. You may bend, but you won't break. You know, we live in hurricane territory, right? And we have all probably seen firsthand how the violent winds of a hurricane leave a trail of massive trees uprooted and broken. And no matter how heavy the rains or strong the winds, there is one kind of tree that generally doesn't break under the pressure. You know what kind of tree that is? Palm trees. And it's interesting that Psalm 92:12 says this, the righteous flourish like what? The palm tree. The righteous flourish like the palm tree. So to be righteous is to be in right relationship with God, to be living a life that's pleasing to God. And the result is that He says we will flourish like the palm tree. And flourish means to grow, to bud, to blossom, to thrive, to be fruitful. And this statement is made in the context of warfare. If you read the preceding verse, it says, my eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. So this whole thing about the righteous flourishing like the palm tree is spoken in the context of warfare. And Satan is our enemy, but no matter how strong or relentless his attacks may be, we may bend like a palm tree, but we won't break. Amen? There's a commercial for Hurricane Impact Windows, and it states that this company, their windows are rated for 175 mile per hour winds. And they made the product so they know the wind pressure that it can withstand. And God made us so He knows the pressure of testing that we can withstand. Paul writes it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able to bear. Amen. God knows your stress limit. He knows how far the testing can go. God made us. He knows exactly what we can bear, and He sets limits on the strength of the trial, on the duration of the trial, on the strength of the storm. He sets limits on what the devil can do, just as He did with Job. Remember, He set limits on Satan and said, you can do this, but you can't do that. God sets limits on what the enemy can do. He's faithful, and He will never allow us to be tried beyond what we are able to bear. But with the trial, He will provide a way of escape. You may bow, but you will bounce back. You know, when you bow or bend, you will bounce back. After Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, one news article was titled, After Hurricane's Wrath, Puerto Rico's Green Forest Turned Bare Brown. And I don't know if you know, but there is a rainforest in Puerto Rico called Ajunque, and all of these trees, they turned brown. But you know, I saw pictures, and you know which trees didn't turn brown on the island? Palm trees. They continued to flourish. They continued to thrive through one of the most devastating hurricanes that Puerto Rico had experienced. Palm trees bounce back quickly from whatever storm they face. And because the life of God is flowing in us, we will bounce back quickly from whatever attack of the enemy or whatever storm that we may go through. Micah 7:8 says, do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. What does that tell us? That when God is living in us, He has made us resilient. He gives us the ability to bounce back from the most difficult circumstances. Oh, we may fall, but by the grace of God, we will rise again. Hallelujah. So no matter what the devil throws at you, you can say with faith, devil, don't gloat over me, because I may be down right now, but I am not out. Hallelujah. I will rise again, stronger than before, with greater faith and with a more powerful testimony. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. A second principle we see is that we need to remain committed to the place of power. So remember, God designed you, and then remain committed to the place of power. Psalm 92:13 tells us that we need to be planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Where do we flourish? When we are planted. When we are planted in the house of the Lord. That's the place of our power. Being planted in the house of the Lord. The devil wants to pull you out of the place of your power. The devil wants to uproot you from the church, from the fellowship of the saints. We've said it before, but it bears repeating. The devil is described as a roaring lion who roams about seeking whom he may devour. And lions hunt by separating an animal from its herd. And when it isolates the animal from the rest of the herd, the animal becomes easy prey. That's the tactic the devil uses. Divide and conquer. And many believers fall prey to this trick of the enemy. The devil attacks their marriage, their health, their finances, and what do? They begin to withdraw from church. They begin to isolate themselves, believing the lie of the enemy, I need to be alone to deal with this, and once it's over, I'll go back. But a lot of times, they're out so long, once it's over, they don't come back, because the devil has defeated them. The devil has defeated him. And how many people get upset, offended, or hurt with someone or something in the church? That's the tactic of the enemy. The Bible says offense is the snare of the enemy. And so they get offended, they get upset, they get hurt with someone or something in the church. And the first thought that comes to their mind is, leave the church. Isolate yourself. The devil deceives them into thinking that the best thing for them to do is to leave the fellowship of God's people. They buy the lie that they can serve God better at home by themselves than at church. And if you buy that lie, you're calling God a liar. You know why? Because God created the church, and He says, forsake not the fellowshipping of yourselves together. The church is one of God's means of grace in our lives to help us to fight the battle, to help us to grow, to help us to stay strong. And so we need to reject the lie of the enemy that says, isolate yourself. It's a lie of the devil. And when you don't think you need the church, when you think you can worship God alone at home, realize it for what it is. It is the deception of darkness, and rebuke it, because it's contrary to the word of God. God's word says, forsake not the fellowshipping of yourself together. In an article titled, Six Things Satan Wants for Your Life, the author discusses the fact that God has a plan for, that the devil has a plan for your life. You know, God has a plan for your life. The devil has a plan for your life as well. And his plan is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And like a roaring lion, he is hunting us down to devour us. And in this article, the author lists six things the devil wants for our life in order to defeat us. And number four on the list is that the devil wants us to avoid church. That's part of his plan for our life. He wants us to avoid church. And the author writes, the more uninvolved you become with the body of Christ, it is harder to persevere in your faith. It's harder to keep on keeping on in your faith. It isn't easy to follow Jesus in a world that doesn't. When we leave the community we were made for, we are destined to be devoured. That's what he says. You know, it grieves my heart. I've seen recently two people on Facebook that used to attend this church. They moved to another state, did not really get connected in a church. One of them, I recently saw them out, you know, in a bar drinking and all of those things. Another one of them, I recently saw them posting to embrace a lifestyle that Scripture condemns because their daughter is involved in that lifestyle. And so being a month that emphasizes that lifestyle, they were posting all of these things. And it just grieves my heart, because when they were here attending church, they were not living that way. But they got disconnected from the fellowship of the saints, and over time, with the pressure of the world, it wore away at them, and Satan has gotten them ensnared. He's gotten them defeated in their faith. Psalm 20 verses 1 and 2 says that in the day of trouble, God will send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you from Zion. Where does our help come from? Where does God send that help from? From the sanctuary and from Zion. The sanctuary refers to the temple, the house of God, located in Jerusalem, which is also called Mount Zion, the holy city of God. So God sends his help, he sends his strength, he sends his power to us through his sanctuary, through his house. Now I want you to picture this. As long as the prodigal son remained in the father's house, he was safe. But when he left his father's house and went into a distant land, he lost everything and he began to experience calamity. We are safe when we remain in the father's house. There is help, there is power in the father's house. And the Father's house is his church. And I'm not talking about a building, but I'm talking about the people. He's dwelling inside of us. I'm talking about the fellowship of the saints. We need to stay planted in the house of the Lord. Don't uproot yourself. No plant uprooted can survive. Come on now. You take any plant and you uproot it, and it's no longer planted in soil, what's going to happen to that plant? It's going to wither and die. That's what happens when we uproot ourselves from church and we're not planted in the house of the Lord. And not only should you not uproot yourself, but don't transplant yourself from church to church. Because there's some people that they're church hoppers, you know. Don't transplant yourself from church to church. Or now, you know, you can transplant yourself from church to church online. I have a couple people that are on my Facebook friends, and they're totally anti-church because you can see they've been hurt in church. And I was following a thread that they were speaking back and forth between each other the other day, and they were like, oh, well, you know, I occasionally watch this one, and I watch this one, and I watch this one, but sometimes I don't agree with them, so I switch to this one. And they're just going from broadcast to broadcast to broadcast, looking for whatever it is that they agree with or they don't agree with. And they were denouncing most preachers as from the devil and all of this stuff. And Satan has them just so deceived in darkness, and they think they're the right ones, you know, and they're living contrary to the word of God. But the Bible tells us we flourish when we are planted in the house of the Lord. So make sure your roots go deep down in the house of the Lord. How do we put roots deep down in the house of the Lord? We get relationally connected in the church. This is not just about attending a service, but it's about developing those relational connections within the church. That's what enables to keep us strong. They support us. They pray for us. They encourage us in our journey when the devil is attacking us or we're enduring a storm. The devil also wants to pull us away from the power of partnership. Have you ever noticed that soldiers are never sent out on the battlefield alone? They're never sent out on the battlefield alone. In the army, a squad is the smallest grouping made up of 10 soldiers. That's the smallest grouping that they will send out on a mission, 10 soldiers. Likewise, in spiritual warfare, we should never go to battle alone. The church is our company in the army. The ministry we belong to is our platoon, our small group, or the team that we serve together with. That's our squad. And we rely on one another. We build relationships with one another. We watch each other's back. We pray for one another. We fight together. That's how we fight the battle and win. Hallelujah. God reminds us in Ecclesiastes 4:11, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Amen. He's telling us the power of relationship, the power of partnership. The devil wants to pull you out of the church and separate you from the spiritual partnerships with the people of God that are essential to living victoriously and defeating the enemy. You need godly people who can warn you when there's danger, who can fight for you in prayer, who can strengthen your faith, and who can encourage your heart. We all need that in our life. I need that right now. You know, and I'm so grateful for those that have been reaching out with words of encouragement, those who have called and prayed for me. Amen. And you know, when you're going through a hard time, those words of encouragement can be like water on a dry ground. You know, they are just so refreshing. We all need that. Amen. And we can only have that if we have relationship. Don't let the enemy pull you out of those vital relationships. Remain committed to the house of the Lord and the people of God that he has surrounded you with. The third principle, remain committed to the place of prayer. Remain committed to the place of prayer. Satan wants to stop you from praying because prayer stops him from working. Did you hear that? Satan wants to stop you from praying because prayer stops him from working. As one writer said, the forces of hell will do anything to keep us from prayer because prayer is the most powerful force in the world. And the devil knows that a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Prayer connects us with God and all of the resources of heaven. Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the scripture says, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. See, when the church got together and they prayed, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and God strengthened them because they had just been threatened not to preach in the name of Jesus again. God strengthened them and gave them boldness to keep on preaching and doing what he had called them to do. Prayer releases the power of God to strengthen us, to work in our lives, and to defeat every weapon of the enemy's warfare against us. That's why Satan will do whatever he can to distract us from praying with busyness or with a wandering mind. Have you ever experienced that? That you set yourself to pray, I'm going to pray, and the minute you start to pray, your mind starts running in 100 different directions? That's the enemy. He's trying to distract you from prayer, and he will try to discourage you from praying through hardships. He will try to fill you with doubt and say, you know what? See, prayer doesn't make a difference. God isn't answering you. Prayer isn't going to help you. You need to help yourself. These are all the kinds of things that he assaults our mind with. Don't let the devil stop you from praying, even when you feel the least like it. Even when you feel the least like it. Prayer is a powerful weapon of our warfare that defeats the enemy. But as someone has said, no matter how powerful a gun may be, it is harmless unless someone picks it up, points it, and pulls the trigger. So no matter how powerful prayer may be, it's useless unless we actually pray and point our prayers at the devil so that he can be defeated. Pick up the powerful gun of prayer. point it at the devil and just keep pulling the trigger and pulling the trigger and pulling the trigger until he falls. Amen? Don't let Satan stop you from praying. Steadfastly persevere in your commitment to the place of prayer. Satan can easily stop us from praying in a time of trouble if we have not developed a steadfast pattern of prayer. But through the years, if we have established a place and time of prayer where we go to meet with God, where in good times we have consistently spent time thanking God for his blessings, worshiping God, praying, hearing from God, where in hard times through prayers we have poured out our soul and we have found his comfort, we have found his wisdom, we have found his strength, when that habit of prayer has become ingrained in our spirit, then even in the time of the severest hardship, when all of hell is fighting against you, having that consistent habit of prayer will pull us back in that hard time to the place of prayer where we have met God before day after day. When we're overwhelmed by burdens and trials, we may not feel like praying, and we may find ourselves praying less and less. But having that habit of going to a set place and a set time will keep drawing us back to the presence of God. And folks, just go to that place at that set time. Even if you can't pray, even if you can't verbalize what you're going through, just sit there. Our presence is an act of surrender. Our presence there in the place of prayer is a prayer that says, not my will, but your will be done. Our presence in the place of prayer, even if we can't say anything, is an act of faith that expresses, I need you, God. I want to hear from you, Lord. So even if all you can do is sit there in the place of prayer, go and sit there in the presence of God. You remember the story of Daniel. Even after the king's decree had been signed that no one should pray to any other god except the king under penalty of death, it says that Daniel still went back to the same place of prayer at the same time, three times a day, and prayed as he had always done. As he had always done. There was a habit there that kept pulling him back. And the result was that God delivered him from the lion's den and from his enemies who had tried to entrap him. You see, establishing that place of prayer in the good times will draw you back to it in the hard times. And even though we may not feel like it, that habit, for lack of a better word, has become so ingrained in our spirit that it will just keep drawing us back and drawing us back. Fourth principle, if we want to defeat the enemy, remain committed to pastoral protection. Remain committed to pastoral protection. The pastor's job is to watch for our souls. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. To watch means to stand guard for or to protect against danger. There is a protection when we stay under the leadership, under the preaching, under the counsel of a faithful pastor that God has placed over us. In Psalm 23, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he went on to say, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is the rod and the staff for? Well, it's used for two things. One is when the sheep is going astray, the hook on the end pulls them back. And then the pointed end of the staff was to fight off animals when they came to attack the sheep. There's protection. There's safety with the shepherd, right? Of course, Jesus is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, as Peter describes him. But he is the chief shepherd, and the Bible says that pastors are his under shepherds. We're working for the chief shepherd, taking care of his flock that has been entrusted to our care. And so when you're going through that time of trial, when you're walking through the dark valley, when the enemy is attacking, we need to stay close to the shepherd that God has placed us under. Because if we start to stray in our faith, that's when they pull us back. And when the enemy's attacking, they will fight that enemy off in prayer for you. The believer's job is to let the pastor do their job. God has tasked pastors with the job of tending for the flock because the flock needs tending and the sheep need guarding. Shepherds use a staff for two reasons, as I said, to pull the sheep back when they're going astray and to fight off predators. Believers need to listen and submit to the preaching of the pastor, to the correction of pastors, whether the correction comes through a message or it comes through personal counsel. Why? Because they are watching for your soul to keep you from going astray, to protect you from dangers. So believers need to stay under the leadership of pastors because pastors can often see the wolf coming. You can see the wolf coming even when the person doesn't realize that they're under attack. Now, I think I shared on Sunday morning or in one of my recent messages about a gentleman that his wife had gotten pregnant and they felt they needed a different house, a larger house. And so he started working a second job. And he had been very involved in church, had been a leader in church. But as he started working that second job to afford a better home, he started missing church like 90% of the time. And when the few times that he would come, I could see that there was a spiritual change in him. He didn't engage in worship the way he did before. And so one Sunday morning when he was here, I pulled him to the side and I talked to him and told him I was very concerned about his spiritual condition. And he just kind of, you know, shrugged it off and said, "Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm still good with God, even though you don't see me here." But I knew that that was not the case. And unfortunately, within a matter of months, he had fallen into an affair with a woman that he met at that second job. And so you need to stay under the leadership of faithful pastors because they can see dangers. They can see when you're falling away, and they can call you on it. And then you need to listen. You need to give heed because they're watching for your soul. So when you find yourself in the storm, when you find yourself under attack and you can't imagine how you will ever overcome, because some battles last for days, some battles last for months, some battles even last for years. And that's when you have to really rely on the battle basics that have become ingrained in your soul. And we looked at four of those battle basics today. Amen. And I encourage you to go back and listen to this message again so that it can really get deep in your soul. God made you. He designed you. And as long as you are in right relationship with him, he says you will be like a palm tree. You will flourish like a palm tree. You may bend, but you will not break. You may bow, but you will bounce back. Amen. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And God has given us the church to encourage and support us. The church is our place of power to strengthen us, to uplift us. We need to stay connected to the church. And God has provided prayer as a means to access the limitless power of God to work on our behalf, to defeat the enemy. So we need to remain faithful to the place of prayer and not allow the enemy to stop us from praying. And finally, God has provided pastors, spiritual shepherds, to correct and to protect. Let's determine that we will hold fast these battle basics now and always, so that in the time of battle, we will be strengthened so that we can overcome. Would you stand to your feet and let us make that commitment to remain faithful to these battle basics? Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, that you are training us for battle. Father, we know that in these last days, things are already extremely difficult, and your word says they're going to get even more difficult until Jesus returns for his church. And Lord, now more than ever, we need to have these principles of battle ingrained in our spirit, because now more than ever, we need to depend upon you for the resiliency to continue to fight and overcome. We need to depend on the fellowship of the saints and the relationships that we build, Lord God, because as the time draws near and the days get increasingly difficult, we need one another, Lord God, for the strength, for the encouragement, for the prayer support, Lord God. So help us to remain planted in your house in the place of power, Lord God. And Father, now more than ever, we need to pray as never before, Lord God, because these are evil times, Lord God. And the days, Lord God, that we are facing before us, Lord God, are unlike anything we have ever faced before. And it is only through faith in you and dependency upon you, Lord God, that we will be able to overcome and walk victoriously. So help us to remain faithful to the place of prayer. And help us, Lord God, to remain under the pastoral leadership that you have placed us, Lord God, so that we will be protected, so that we will be safeguarded by their prayers, by their correction, Lord God, and by their counsel, Lord. Father, we commit to these battle basics today. Help us to live them out by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all so much. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday evening. We love you, New Life. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again. God bless you.